really for anybody, you know, but we'll direct this toward amputees is, you know, diet is key and water intake is key. You have to build your natural energy from the good foods you eat and the hydration. From that point moving forward, you know, once you feel that natural energy coming, what is going to happen is you're going to organically feel like you want to do more activity.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of The Socket, and I am Van Tucker. Today we have a great conversation with Kevin Herbert. Kevin is a personal trainer and clinical liaison at All Care. He's grown up his life playing hockey and recently got into the field of prosthetics. In this conversation, we really learn his journey of his personal life, going from playing hockey to becoming a trainer, and now working at All Care, and all of his different insights and resources that he's developing to really improve the lives of amputees. So without further ado, let's dive in with Kevin. Hi, Kevin, welcome to The Socket. Really excited to have you today. So what's been the most exciting part of your day so far? You know, it's already been into the afternoon. I think you've been pretty busy. So what's been the highlight so far today?
Well, the highlight is always, you know, waking up and playing with my son. You know, I love him to death. He's 10 months old, and he's learning to do new things. And, you know, he's just a ball of joy. He's just pure innocence and happiness and smiles. So really just kind of waking up to that. You know, my fiance brings him to our bedroom every morning to feed. And so she'll get him, bring him in, and he's just, like, looking at me with his big bright blue eyes, like, and he learned dada not too long ago. So that I would say is always going to be the highlight of my morning. But I was able to get a workout in. I felt pretty good about that. I was able to, you know, get some work done before this podcast. I mean, just being productive, really.
That's awesome. You know, it's amazing what a baby does to your life. I have my son just turned 2 last month, and I was very fortunate to have dada be his first word. It was a little battle, but that was a nice little thing. So
very cool.
I remember when that happened. So that was pretty cool. So, you know, it's awesome to kind of have that be the start of your day for sure and kind of set the foundation. And so, you know, for the people that may not know you, Kevin, we love to kind of hear your story. You know, you're in the industry, but you also have firsthand experience of, you know, so it'd be awesome to kind of learn your story kind of growing up and how you kind of got to where you are today.
Yeah, I mean, I will start out that I am a congenital below elbow limb different individual. In other words, I was born without my right hand and wrist. And, you know, I grew up with a ton of great support, whether accidental or on purpose. I still have yet to determine that. But, you know, my parents, they did a good job. You know, they kind of treated me like, you know, their other son, my brother, and any other kid out there. Like, you know, hey, you fall, you get back up. You know, you don't really have anything that is going to stop you unless you stop you. You just have to do things a little bit differently. And that's kind of where my little slogan of we do the same things, just differently, really kind of came from. So, you know, I grew up with a brother who is 2 years older than I am. So having 2 boys in the house, we were very competitive by nature, beating up on each other, playing sports, you know, whatever the case is, video games, just very competitive. And that kind of helped build a drive in me that I just always wanted to, I wanted to be better. I wanted to be the next level. And so I played hockey. I started playing hockey, well, probably around the age of 5, you know, and picked up a stick. And of course, it's different. You know, it's different for me than a two-handed person playing. But I just practiced. You know, I had a parking lot next to my house that I would wake up at 8 a.m. on a Saturday and a Sunday. And my brother played goalie, so I had a person to shoot on, which was amazing. And we would play until, you know, 7, 8, 9 p.m. every weekend without failure. And then I started getting into leagues and playing. And you know, it was interesting because kids would look at me and go, oh, you know, this guy's got one arm. What can he do? You know, and so they would kind of back off from me. And I saw this. So I would take that opportunity to go score some goals. And, you know, by like halfway through the second period or the third period, you know, people started paying attention going, well, this kid can do something, you know, let's cover him. So now their focus kind of goes on to me a little bit, and it's taken away from another player. And, you know, so I would become a playmaker then. But, you know, so I learned to capitalize on opportunity a little early in life. And I played hockey for about 20 years, all through, you know, elementary school, middle school, high school, and a little bit after high school. You know, it was always a struggle to try to easily fit in with kids, from everyday schooling to, you know, switching from elementary to middle school to high school. But that helped build character, I think, you know, to really believe in myself. You know, if I have to kind of really go out of my way to show people that I can do, I will do, and I'm just as good, you know, I have to have the confidence in myself and really believe in myself. Otherwise, nobody else will believe it. Sorry about that. Hello?
You're still here. Your video cut out.
Okay. If it was good. Want to make sure. So my apologies, but so with that confidence, you know, it just really helped me get through going to school by myself and then making friends and just really capitalizing on that. My mother got sick when I was 16, you know, so I'm still at a phase where I'm kind of learning about myself. I'm learning how to live one-handedly. You know, it's not like there's a manual for it. And to be honest with you, they don't really teach it in school. That could be a story for another day maybe. But, yeah. You know, so I'm just really trying to figure this stuff out. And then my mom got sick, and that was really tough, you know, because I'm just stuck between battles of I'm trying to figure myself out. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do after high school. What's going to happen to my mom? You know, so for about 8 years, it was going through, you know, my mom being sick and battling, and I had no idea what I wanted to do. You know, to be honest with you, those years were kind of like I was around, but I wasn't really around. You know, my head's not in the best place. I don't know what I want to do with my life. I'm gaining and losing weight. I was playing hockey for a while. Yeah, that was really kind of what kept me going. And, you know, so I would play open hockey. I would play any chance I could get. And that actually leads me to an opportunity that presented itself. I was playing hockey at like 5:30 in the morning on a Wednesday. And I know, right?
Like that's dedication, 5:30. And how old are you?
I am 31 now.
No,
At that time I was maybe 21, 22.
That's impressive. 5:30 in the morning, out playing hockey. That's cool.
You know, well, it really took my mind off of things, you know, and it really kind of just, no matter what, for that 90 minutes, like just nothing else mattered, you know? And so I made myself do it. And so there, I guess, was somebody who was a recruiter for the Standing Amputee Hockey Association, and he had retired, or since then been retired, but he called, I guess, somebody really high up, Dave Crandell. He's now a representative also for the Standing Amputee Hockey Association. And we had about a 2-hour conversation about opportunity, and how this guy's telling Dave that I'm better than people with two hands out on the ice, you know? And so for me, that was a big compliment, because, you know, not only am I striving to be the best player I can be, but I'm not looked at as he's a really good hockey player with one hand. He is a great player that can keep up with everybody who has full limbs, you know? So that to me was a very special phone call and a special opportunity. Bad luck struck again. And about 2 weeks before leaving for a qualifying tournament, I got into a car accident. This car accident broke my collarbone, and I had to get titanium plates surgically implanted. So I did not make that tournament.
God, man.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of like just the, you know, a basic timeline of life that kind of led to where I am today. So after that, I have to be completely transparent. I became pretty depressed after that, because my life changed. You know, I thought I was going in one direction, and now it's completely in another. And so I gained a bunch of weight. You know, my mom passed, so that didn't help. In November 16, 2012, that didn't help. I gained a bunch of weight. I was just kind of in a lull for like 2.5-3 years. And I woke up, literally like woke up one day at the age of 27 and a half ish. And I'm like, I'm so tired of this. I can't do this anymore. And I started going to the gym twice a day and started logging my workouts. Really, the intent was to kind of look at my form. And then I was kind of posting my fitness journey, and all of this, all of what I do now was because of that. And I just kind of capitalized on it, you know. Lucky Fin Project, some people from there had kind of noticed my content online and was reaching out to me about adaptive workouts. And so I would share with them, you know, what I do, my regimen, kind of how I ate, how I would think to adapt on almost every single kind of workout. You know, fast forward a couple of years, I went to my first Lucky Fin weekend event, and I met some amazing people. And from there, I decided to leave like the gym industry and work in the prosthetic industry full time because I want to help amputees full time. You know, I had kind of the anatomy down. I had helping people out down. But I wanted to specifically help amputees because I have 31 years experience as an amputee.
Yep.
So, you know, I got into the prosthetic industry where I've been here now for a little over 2 years. And I mean, I get to help people every day and it is absolutely fantastic. I became a certified peer visitor through the Amputee Coalition. I got my personal training certification and I'm still continuing my education in that to get into corrective fitness to properly be able to help out amputees even further. And yeah, so just staying busy. And that's pretty much the last 15 years of my life.
Well, Kevin, you did a very good job breaking that down, your whole journey. Very impressive, you know.
It's
wild to, you know, really see how your passion for like hockey kind of became like a good, like the main staple and how you kind of continue that going through. So do you still play hockey today or how does that work out?
So it's brought up to me often. I mean, I've picked up a stick and kind of shot like a ball around or a puck around here and there, but it is extremely difficult for me to be at a stage where if stepping on the ice, I know I won't be where I was 10 years ago. I haven't been practicing, you know, but knowing that I had this opportunity, I'm afraid to be constantly reminded of that being taken away. So I still have a great appreciation for it. Go Flyers, you know, and I've enjoyed the Golden Knights as well over there in Nevada. But to play again, I'm just not so sure.
Got it. And kind of going through, you know, you're a personal trainer, clinical liaison. How does that, what's that kind of, break that down more. What's the kind of typical day look like for you, for the folks that may not know, you know, it sounds like two different, you know, what's a typical day look like? Because you're kind of this hybrid of three different things. So
So
how does that kind of work together and kind of break in kind of a use case on that?
So first and foremost, there is absolutely never a typical day.
God, never that makes it fun then. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I love what I do. The possibilities are just ultimately endless. You know, on an ordinary day, you know, wake up, go to work, come home. It's, you know, the clinical liaison side of things is really bridging the gap between the patient and the prosthetic and orthotic company, making sure that, you know, everything's being taken care of to make sure that the patient can get the best product for them in a very effective manner. You know, timely and quality is really what we represent. So I'm just an extra set of hands, if you will, on making sure that the patient's getting what they need. All the paperwork's filled out. The doctors are being met. They're getting the scripts in. Everything we need. Now, personal training is it is interesting how it can tie in, because there's individuals, we have patients that ultimately want to better their health, but insurance runs out. You know, they stop paying for physical therapy or occupational therapy. That's where I can step in and help them by giving them workouts to do at home or at a gym, or kind of a guideline that they can take to a personal trainer that they want to themselves as an all-care patient.
Got it. So from that personal trainer side, and the, so what kind of, you know, for say for an amputee that, you know, they've been maybe not being as active as they desire, and they're looking for some tips. So from the kind of putting your personal trainer hat on, what's kind of some, you know, just basic tips you kind of often give for someone that, you know, really just wants to enhance their activity level, and they may not feel they, you know, but they want to do it safely as well. From the, they don't want to like just go out and just go too hard. Next thing you know, it's like pain, it did not work out as desired. It's like, oh, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
So what kind of tips do you have for someone that's wanting to kind of enhance activity level safely?
Right. So, you know, it is a very good question. That is what a lot of people do. You know, they want to be active. So we're going to do it right now, jump right into it, and, you know, worry about the consequence later. You know, unfortunately, when that consequence hits, it's demotivating. So really the best thing I could always say, really for anybody, you know, but we'll direct this toward amputees, is, you know, diet is key and water intake is key. You have to build your natural energy from the good foods you eat and the hydration. From that point moving forward, you know, once you feel that natural energy coming, what is going to happen is you're going to organically feel like you want to do more activity. Now, what activities you're going to want to do depends on your goals. You know, if you are a BKA and you want to start running marathons, great. If you are an upper extremity amputee and you want to become a rower, great. We will start working on that. But it really just stems from, you know, creating that natural energy for yourself. You know, I had a Zoom meeting a few weeks ago, and I wanted to talk about the importance of energy expenditure as an amputee. You know, we put in the efforts 110-120% to get what a fully abled person would have to put 100% into. So we really have to make sure that what we're putting into our body can conserve energy, but it's also not going to make us lethargic. You know, we want to have more fruits and vegetables, get our carbohydrates from the vegetables, you know, have our proteins, whether, you know, meatless or meat, you know, and you want to stay away from complex carbs as much as you can when it comes to just everyday living. Now, as far as workouts go, you know, I always tell everybody to kind of get 5 exercises in mind, you know, if you're at home. Get 5 exercises that you want to do, no matter how impossible they seem to do, and we'll adapt them together. So if it is a lower extremity, you know, we can substitute weights for bands or other kinds of resistance. Same thing for upper extremity. You know, weight distribution and leverage are really going to take a factor in as being an amputee to keep even symmetry. And not a lot of people think about that. You know, as an upper extremity amputee myself, I've caught myself hyperextending my shoulder to kind of make up for the length of my organic arm. You know, for lower extremity, you know, it could become a balanced situation, or your hip to pelvis ratio get thrown off because you're favoring the one side more, your organic leg side. You know, so I ultimately try to tell everybody what you naturally want to do in your functional daily life. When you're working out, try to work on the opposite. So instead of working on your organic side, my organic arm, and letting my residual limb arm kind of be there as a guide, plan your workout around your residual limb side and let your strong side be your guide. You know, for me, you know, my shoulder's getting worked twice as much. This arm picks up a lot, 80-90% comparison to this arm. Yeah. This arm is getting a workout in itself. So let me focus on this side here. And that is one thing that I have ultimately been able to conquer, is creating a symmetrical, even body.
That's impressive. And do you typically work with within your local area? You mentioned you do Zoom. How do you kind of go about that? You know, COVID's been a crazy thing for everyone in the world. So, you know, and that's where, you know, a lot of people that were used to kind of going into like a personal trainer, some states and areas are still not even open to do it. So, you know, how today in this changing world are you kind of navigating these waters to get, you know, keeping movement and keeping that bit, like the, you know, activities moving?
That is another very good question. And a lot of people need to understand this, that the world has changed and it may be for a very long time. However, there are always adaptations. That's a great thing about being an amputee. I've adapted to life. What's one more adaptation, right?
So,
you know, if somebody has gone and tested negative for COVID and their test is recent, you know, and I get tested, you know, weekly pretty much. So as long as I'm negative and they're negative, I will teach them one or personally train them one-on-one. Zoom is always effective. I have to say, like, I've certainly kind of lowered the pricing too. You know, I still want to be able to continue to learn to be a personal trainer and help individuals out, you know, and not have somebody kind of have to choose between, oh, the electric bill or Kevin's personal training, because I'm not working as much. So I will also write up workouts and send them by email, or we can discuss them over Zoom that they can do at home, especially if they do have the equipment. And I check up with them once a week to see what their progress is. You know, that's more like an honorary system, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, my goal isn't to have that one person as a client forever. I want to be able to have them build the tools that they need within themselves to be able to go do this on their own. So this is kind of a step toward that anyway. And some people do all three. You know, they'll meet with me in person, you know, once every other week. We'll talk on Zoom every week. And I'll write out a weekly workout program for them. So, you know, it really is just on the comfort level of the individual. You know, the person that may be a little bit more excuse-oriented, I would probably want to see maybe once a week until they kind of get out of that zone. But that's pretty much, that's how I function.
That's a good approach, you know. So you kind of become, you know, their coach as well. It's kind of holding them accountable during those calls, even though they can't come in and physically be there. And that's kind of like the accountability thing when you get a personal trainer. It's like, you know, you call them up, yo, man, where are you at? Why are you not here? I'm waiting for you. It's like, you coming in? It's like, no, man. It's like, then that kind of forces you to show up when you have Kevin calling you to show up to the, you know, for the session. But so
exactly. And you know, if we're, you know, on this for 4 weeks and when I'm calling you, and you, like, there's just certain kind of questions that, oh, how did you feel when you did exercise A, B, and D? Mm-hmm. You know, if there's going to be like a Googled version of an answer, and then there's going to be a heartfelt answer from experience. And you can typically tell the difference when somebody doesn't really know, maybe because they didn't do it, and somebody who really tried to do it, whether they failed or succeeded. I mean, either way, they succeeded by trying, but, you know, they're able to share that experience and we can correct it and then move forward.
That's awesome, Kevin. And kind of continuing on this journey of you kind of, you know, wearing these different hats that you've been doing, kind of work your way into. So what's kind of, you know, the last couple of years since you kind of got more into the personal training and the clinical liaison side, what's kind of been the best experience you've kind of remembered when helping someone out?
Oh, wow. I mean, that's a good question. There's so many, you know, there's so many cases where it feels good for different reasons. You know, helping somebody get a myoelectric arm, and after they lost their, you know, arms to an electrical fire, you know, and giving them that kind of second chance in life, as far as using hands, you know, that was pretty emotional, because he was emotional. You know, it was, you just kind of put words to it, but we could certainly feel what he was feeling. And that was one of the first patients I've really ever dealt with in the industry. So it was a very cool experience. It set the bar very high.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't want to take that away from the person who, you know, was patiently waiting and they were denied, you know, from the insurance, and the insurance wouldn't fight for them for a leg, or the company wouldn't fight for them. And she had no place else to go. And she came to us and we said, you know, let's give it a shot. And we fought for her, and, you know, the emotion behind her and her daughter to kind of see her walk and get her appropriate leg again. You know, it just, it's not the product itself, but it's about fighting for the little guy, the person who doesn't know anything about how the insurance works, doesn't know anything about the organizations out there, and bringing them to that. I was brought to that light within these past couple of years. I mean, the APT Coalition Conference, I mean, it changed my life. You know, I went from being a kid to thinking like I was the only amputee out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up in a smaller town, to now, you know, 28 years later, being at a conference where just everybody is an amputee and everybody has their own story and everybody is strong and everybody has some jokes about their amputation. And it was just, it was so just moving and empowering. Like, I get hair, you know, the hair stand up on my arm when I think about it. You know, those are the moments as to why I stay doing this, you know, because there will always be people out there who don't know. There will always be people out there who need support. And those are the moments that feel the best, when they can look at you and you can just, without words, just know how grateful they are.
So that's awesome. And kind of, you know, what's kind of, you know, you said everyone has these like jokes. So do you have a joke? This is kind of a curveball for it. Now you jump on the stage. So do you have any funny jokes for us?
Well, so I would say I'm more of like a quick wit individual. Like, if somebody says something that they think is funny, especially if I don't have my prosthetic arm on, I'll be like, oh, that's hilarious. Two thumbs up. And they're looking at me and they'll be like, wait, what? Two thumbs up? And I obviously don't have two thumbs. You know, I kind of like messing with people a little bit. Yeah. That's kind of more my thing. I remember, you know, I was trying to impress this girl like when I was 18, and we were on a jetty where we weren't supposed to be. And this like newer lifeguard runs up, and he, you know, he's got his, you know, David Hasselhoff strut going on. And, you know, he's like, oh, you can't be here. And I was like, watch this. And she's like, no, don't do it. I was like, I lost my arm to a shark here a year ago today. Oh my gosh, how dare you? You know, and he's like, oh my gosh, ran back to the lifeguard stand, and you see them pointing and like, I'm laughing, you know, like it just, you know, so I don't have the actual like amputee jokes, but I'm certainly like witty when it comes to wanting to talk about my arm. Like it's obvious, it's apparent. Let me use it when I can. But the two thumbs up is pretty much my go-to.
That's a good icebreaker to someone. That throws them off a little bit. So
right, exactly. They're like, so is it good or is it not good?
Yeah. And kind of, you know, one thing I've kind of started this podcast, a new little tradition, is kind of diving into like life hacks. And this is something that's not really talking specifically about, you know, products that are designed for, you know, amputees. So I was wondering, has there been an unexpected product that you found and you're like, wow, I wish I discovered this sooner? That's not really geared towards amputees, but something you started using for like to help make your life easier or more fun.
Okay, so I'll say easier, and comes back to like, there's it's almost like a shoehorn, but it's actually a hook for laces for ice hockey. And I would always hyperextend my arm to try to tighten my skates. And it always just barely did not reach. So that was always annoying. And once I kind of found this hook, I'm like, wow, I could sit back. I'm like the laziest skate tire there is. And I was kind of able to hook it in and pull, and it would be tight. And it was the most amazing thing. It's not made for amputees, but it certainly made life as an amputee a lot easier.
And do you use that today with your regular shoes or just in the as well? Or is mainly
so what I actually used, well, I have two life hacks. One is a prosthesis, not much of a hack, but it's not available to everybody, of course. And then two is the loafers. So no shoelaces.
Uh-huh. There you go. Nailed
there
it.
The loafers.
The loafers. And, you know, as you kind of get in more in the industry, it'd be cool to kind of talk about your actual prosthesis. You know, have you been using, how long you've been using a prosthesis, and what's kind of been your experience with it?
Okay. So the very first prosthesis that I tried, I was 19 years old, and it was something that I was not fully invested in, only because I'm like, oh, I'm 19 years old. I grew up without it, yada, yada, yada. But my dad was very adamant on me at least trying it. So I was like, you know what? Okay. It was a myoelectric arm, dual sight, eye, limb, hand. And the prosthetic company, you know, they were there. They did the initial like kind of training. And then that was really about it. They were 2.5 hours away from my house. Okay. They could never come to my house because they were in a different state. And that became very frustrating to me because, you know, I'm growing in size. You know, I'm trying to do all these things. I'm working, going to community college, I'm playing hockey. You know, my mom's sick. I'm not really trying to have to drive 2.5 hours there and 2.5 hours home. And anytime I needed any minor adjustment, that's how it had to be. And so I had that maybe for all of like 60 days, 90 days. And I just kind of, the last time I went there, I left it there. I just left it. You know, I had no use for it. It was slowing me down. It was annoying to have to go there every month to go get a change. So that I did not have the best experience with my very first breath. Great device, just was not coached properly. Mm-hmm. And it being very new to me, you know, I kind of was seeking out my girlfriend's approval at the time on how it looked and my friend's approval. And of course they're like, oh, you have a bionic arm. What can you punch through? And my girlfriend at the time was like, wow, that's a robot arm. That's kind of weird. And so that didn't help out either. You know, so I'm getting all these first impressions and I'm like, wow, you know, is it worth it for me? I don't know. I'm not really wearing it anyway. So I pretty much had a bunch of excuses for it. Fast forward, I had gotten another prosthesis when I was 28. And how that happened, it was very interesting, is I was walking to my job, which is, I lived a block away from the gym I worked at the time. And this certified orthotist stopped me, and he was like, yeah, do you have a prosthetic arm? Like, that is exactly how that conversation went. And I was like, who are you? And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I work for a prosthetic company, and you know, we make prosthetic arms. You should get one if you don't have one. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, well, I'm on my way to work, and so I don't have time for this. And the dude showed up to my work for like once every other week for the next 2 months. And he always missed me because I was out marketing. So I would always hear, hey, that guy came back again. You know, he was looking for you, trying to get you an arm. So I called him. I was like, look, I was like, how does this work? Because I don't want to have to go to you. I had a really bad experience last time that happened. You know, you're located an hour away from my house. I don't want to have to do that. He's like, we will come to you. We will do everything at your house, and it will be at no cost to you.
Okay, that sounds better, huh?
It sounds better, right?
Yeah.
You know, it is the, would I be stupid to not take advantage of this? And
we lost
you. Can you hear me?
We got you. We lost your video, but you still hear you the whole time.
All right, excellent. So, you know, in my mind, I'm like, I would be a fool not to see what this is about. So, you know, we went through the process and they delivered at least at the time what they said they would, which is coming to my house every time and I wouldn't have to pay a dime. And so with that, they started, you know, coaching me on it a little bit better. than what I previously was. And I was like, oh, this is actually not half bad. This is pretty cool. I could see how this could work out. You know, I was like, the first thing I want to do is start working out with it. And they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, it's more for, you know, dexterity than weight bearing. So be careful, you know, and good old anxious me. I waited a whole 2 days before I went to go lift some weights with it. And it was the most amazing feeling in the world. You know, I was like, wow, so this is what it's like to lift with both arms even. You know, my hand-eye coordination's a little bit better. I get to be a little bit – I'm hitting new muscle fibers. This is great. And so from that point forward, I really fell in love with the idea of having a prosthesis. And since then, I've learned about socket technology. I've learned about the different hands out there, how to talk to somebody, how to coach somebody. You know, that's a lot to pack in 3 years, you know. But I wouldn't change it for the world.
That's awesome. And now, kind of, you know, now you've been used, so you use it every day. How are you kind of managing, you know, the different reactions that you got the first time? You know, you said before you had your girlfriend and some of your friends saying, hey, I can, you know, how can you punch through walls, or it kind of looks weird. You know, how do you kind of navigate that now?
I throughout that time, you know, 19 years old again, still weird time as for anybody, you know, you're still trying to figure yourself out. You're still trying to fit in with life and see where your place is in life. And since from that time to 28, you know, I found my place. I was happy with who I was. I learned a lot from my life experiences that had happened up to that point. And the biggest difference was, I was like, who cares what other people think? You know, that was the very first thing when it came to aesthetics and how other people may approach it. I also did my homework a little bit more to understand what they're supposed to do, how they can help, and I became less stubborn. You know, at 19, I was like, oh, I could do everything one-handed. I've proven everybody wrong thus far. I don't need another hand. And at 28, you know, I'm a little bit older and wiser, and I'm thinking, well, I don't want to overuse my left shoulder. I don't want to overuse my left elbow. You know, what happens if at 40 I get arthritis, you know, in my left arm, and, you know, then I'm really kind of out of it, you know? So this could be used as a tool to help prolong that or prevent it from happening at an early stage. So kind of using that mentality is kind of what got me through any kind of hiccup, got me through any kind of, you know, questionings or concerns aesthetically from other individuals that are important in my life. And, you know, they just don't know. I mean, how could you possibly know how are you going to design your prosthetic socket unless you're an amputee? And nobody thinks about being an amputee for the most part, unless you're in the industry, because why would you have to?
Yeah. So what's a kind of a common myth about amputees that you kind of wish to solve?
Well, I don't know. I guess I will say, can I substitute the word myth?
You can do anything you want. You have full control. You can change your word to
whatever
word you want instead of a myth. It could be anything.
So instead of a myth, I'm gonna say an assumption. The worst assumption is that every young-ish amputee was in the military. You know, I have gotten, oh, thank you for your service, without even, you know, just standing there. I've had people come up to me in the gym while I'm working out and awkwardly stand next to me while I have to peel back my headphones, and them thanking me for, you know, my service, and start going into, you know, some military lingo. And I'm like, thank you, but I wasn't in the service and I have no idea what you just said. And it becomes annoying on multiple levels. You know, here's why it's a double smack in the face for me, is when I was 18 and I had no direction, I did want to join the military. Two of my best friends, you know, they joined the Marines and they made a good life from it. And I wanted to go join with my buddies, and I knew I could use discipline and it would give me a sense of direction. And I was unable to. And I was unable to join any branch of military at that point. So for me, when I hear that, it's kind of like a double smack, because it's like, A, I wasn't in the military, and B, wow, you just reminded me how I wasn't able to join. Thanks. But you have to keep that smile on and say, that wasn't me, but have a great day. You know, I may be the first and or only amputee they meet in their life. So my reaction is crucial to that. And being so inspiring. I don't know. I assume you've heard this maybe from a couple of amputees that were on your show before. Maybe not. But I know that when if I'm doing something to inspire people, I don't mind it. Great. Please. Thank you for your acknowledgement. However, if I am bending over and tying my shoe because my shoelace became untied in the grocery store and somebody wants to stop me and tell me how inspiring I am, that can be annoying. Yep. Because like, I'm just trying to live my life, you know, like I don't need a handout. I'm not, you know, I'm not looking for a charity thank you or acknowledgement. It's, hey, you know, anybody whose shoelace gets untied, you know, you tie it.
Yep.
So I would say those two are pretty, they kind of strike a nerve.
Yeah. That's something that a lot of people, you know, they don't see, you know, the veterans one's interesting. That's something I didn't really thought about too much before, but you know, it is a common thing now. I started thinking about it. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you should go, you know, all this stuff like the VA and stuff, you know, that's just a small percentage of the whole world of all the, you know, even today with wars becoming, you know, still wars are still happening, still a big source, but you know, from a percentage basis, it's not as big as a lot of people think it is, you know? So,
right. So the stigma behind that is, you know, younger, whether male or female, for me, it's, you know, obviously young male, you know, high energy, kind of in shape. So I must have been military because there's no other explanation. So that kind of goes into just education. You know, the world needs to be more educated on how things can happen, you know, especially with amputees. That's my area of expertise. That's what I advocate for, you know, and so when children come up to me, I encourage it. I want them to come up and want to learn. You know, it's when the parents say, oh, no, you don't want to bother him. No. Like, my feeling is that that parent is now going to assume something. Chances are it will be wrong.
Yep.
And tell their child this, and their child will grow up believing this. Yes. And that is kind of the pattern of life that has happened for amputees. Yeah. So to kind of put a break in that chain and be like, no, come, please ask away. I would rather you learn firsthand from the source than, you know, an assumption.
Completely agree. And kind of getting towards the end of the podcast here. So I was wondering, you know, what's kind of been some resources that have helped you along the way that kind of having as this get into physical therapy, you know, what kind of helped you get to where you are today from the resource side?
So from the resource side, you know, I would say mainly I got my resources from the community. Two big resources are the Amputee Coalition and the Lucky Finn Project. Lucky Finn Project, I have met a lot of upper extremity amputees in which, you know, are musicians, artists, you know, they're in the fitness industries themselves, you know, actors, actresses, etc. So being able to gain experience on adaptability from firsthand users, you know, that was very important to me. ABT Coalition, they just have an infinite amount of resources from being able to get a job to how to modify your home to how to conduct a support group to be in a support group. Like I had mentioned before, I got my certification to be a peer visitor, so I utilized that resource to help individuals who recently lost a limb, whether upper extremity or lower extremity, really kind of help them understand and the caregivers understand what the process is kind of about and what are some things to expect and maybe how to handle some things. So those are the two biggest resources. All Care is another great resource because they're more of the product side of things, but they help, you know, a lot of high-end patients. They listen, they care about what the patient wants rather than telling what the patient, what they're gonna get. And for me, that's important. Sidebar, that's kind of why I joined the All Care team, was because of that, you know, asking me what my vision is to help amputees, and what I want our prosthesis, and to be able to take that vision and actually put it into play is just, it's wonderful.
And it's great. You know, that is a lot of resources you found. So that's pretty awesome that you've been able to kind of take these different resources and kind of put them together to really kind of inspire you to even get into the industry now, you know, with the All Care team. And now you're, I also noticed you started, like, it looks like, I think, a Facebook group, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
So
I did.
So what's kind of the story there?
So, you know, I love connecting people. I love people sharing stories, and I want people to be able to connect. I will be launching a website called SavonicFitness.com, where there's going to be a lot of trusted affiliates. If they're not in the New Jersey area, people who are looking for adaptive workouts, they can go to these trusted affiliates. They can find them on my website. And, you know, so I really like just the connection and the networking. So I created this amped up, a tri-state amputee network Facebook group to really just bring people together to be able to share what they have going on in their lives. And if they're doing Zooms or support groups, share it. You know, I'll hop on. You know, there's going to be somebody that's going to be like, wow, that's in my area, or wow, I like what they're doing. Let me, you know, hop on that. Let me learn about it. And I just think that for me, I did not have any of these resources growing up. Well, they were around. It was just that I had no idea how to find them.
Got it. Yep.
So with the internet being what it is today, to take advantage of that and be able to connect people, whether they're parents of limb difference children, people who are caregivers, or amputees themselves, you know, this is just one more spot that somebody can go to find resources and get information from how to adapt to their home or how to learn about prosthetics.
That's awesome. I think there's no, you know, there's other resources out there, but I think the more resource, you know, more and more resources, the better, you know, each, and for people to discover it and really start, you know, building community. That's number one. Start asking questions, like you said before, and people really just not feel like they're alone as they go down this path, because that's the whole kind of mission that we have here on our podcast as well, just to get people like yourself on sharing stories. And my whole goal, if we can help one person just learn one little nugget, then I'm a happy man. So
that's it. It's one person at a time. You know, that's all we can do, you know?
Exactly. So is there anything that we should have talked about, but we didn't tackle, that you want to share with our audience?
I guess the only thing that I would really like a little blurb about is, you know, is my Stabotic Fitness, you know, networking is everything. Being able to adapt to your activities of daily living is very important. So if you are looking for that, you know, please do not hesitate, you know, to reach out to me. You know, you can reach out to me on Facebook at Kevin A. Herbert. You can reach out to me on my Instagram handle, Kevin_Herbert0913. You can email me at stabonic@gmail.com. And you'll certainly be able to at least get some direction. If I cannot help you, I can certainly send you to somebody that can.
Well, Kevin, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here on the Socket today with us. You know, what you've been able to do, you know, going from hockey, going in, you know, navigating the waters, going through the teens, and now where you are today is incredible. And I just can't, you know, this is, just, I think you're just really just starting, you're still continuing on your path, you know, so I'm really excited to watch what, you know, you get launch your website and really see the additional people you're going to be helping out in the community. So thanks for being on here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Have a good one, Kevin.
Bye.